Welcome to the Elks of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Denver Broncos and the last division we will have here going around the NFC, going around the NFL. Started with the NFC, now with the AFC, and probably saving the best division for last. So it'll be interesting here with this team. There's the big change, obviously, Russell Wilson, a new offensive coach as well, a new head coach. A new offensive scheme. So we do have to take some of the items in this with a grain of salt. I will say that I think, generally speaking, the offense should swim more downstream instead of swimming into a current this year as it had been. So team didn't pick in the first round because of the Russell Wilson trade. They drafted Greg Dulcich in the third round. Did some other work, primarily on the defense, linebacker, corner, D-tackle, safety, basically with the first picks through the fifth round there, and then drafted a wide receiver and an interior offensive and defensive lineman followed by a corner to follow it out. So no real major threats here on the contributing side of the fantasy aspect or anything like that. So I think largely the news would be Russell Wilson coming in, Nathaniel Hackett being the new head coach, Tim Patrick injured, and Melvin Gordon back. Basically, how do all of those things factor in with the return of with the new Russell Wilson system? How does that all, what's that look like, right? That's the big question here. So I think everything would point towards a little bit more efficiency, a little bit maybe more volume, a little bit more offensive friendliness with this new system than last year. So we'll talk about that and, again, how that might benefit some of the players here. I think there's a specific play. 59.6 plays per game last year, that ranked 27th. 35.5 dropbacks per game, that ranked 24th. 24.2 design runs per game, actually ranked 12th. Design pass rate 56.2%, 25th. By way of reference, the Green Bay was actually 15th in design pass rate, so a little bit higher there. Seconds per play, they ranked 28th. Again, so pretty slow there. In terms of the passing game, they're 29th behind the line of scrimmage, 7th in terms of short passing, 29th in terms of medium passing, and 3rd in terms of deep. So I think some of that deep stuff could actually turn better for Cortland Sutton. We'll get into that in a second. 7.1 yards per attempt in the passing game, that ranked 15th. 3.7% of their passes went for touchdown, good for 21st. 6.6% sack rate, good for the 11th worst or the 11th highest. 3.6% scramble rate, that's good for 18th. Altogether, about a median 10.3% residual there, leakage from their dropback number. So right about neutral in terms of the league. 133 play action attempts, that is 24.6% of their attempts. That is good for 23rd. So I think you could see some uptick in play action maybe going forward. That could be a thing you see as well from this team. The running back routes and targets per dropback, I'll compare those from what they were last year to what they were in Green Bay, because I think that's maybe instructive in terms of what we think about this team going looking forward and what this new offense might look like. 12th in terms of routes, 21st in terms of targets per dropback for the running back position. Last year, Green Bay ranked 14th in terms of routes, 13th in terms of targets. So about similar, pretty close. No real huge edge there, I wouldn't say. Wide receiver routes per dropback, 23rd, and targets per dropback, 28th last year for Denver. Last year for Green Bay, that was 9th and 6th. So a lot more receiver-friendly, receiver-centric offense there. Tight ends ranked 6th in terms of routes last year and 4th in terms of targets per drop back for Denver. Green Bay, 17th and 24th respectively there. So I would say this offense, a little bit more wide receiver-centric, a little bit less tight end-centric. with what was coming over from Denver. I will say, if you sort of look at the talent, Denver's got better tight end talent than Green Bay did last year. And they also probably have better wide receiver talent outside of certainly from, I think, two. They do. So I think their second receiver, no one's going to match Devontae Adams. Not very many people match Devontae Adams, but I think the two is probably better. And heck, you could even say the three is better too, is if you get a healthy Hamler. So we'll see how all that fits in. But I think there's definitely some optimism that I have. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second here. Red zone, 144 plays last year. That's 17th in terms of their volume. Green Bay ran 203 red zone plays. That was third. 56.3% red zone rush rate last year for Denver. Green Bay actually was a 42.4% red zone rush rate last year. Good for 27th. So if I'm not necessarily sure if that's Rodgers so much or if that's the offensive structure, but that's a big difference in terms of what was on offer last year from Denver versus Green Bay. So that's probably one of the bigger differences there, what they did in the red zone. And you could see, I look at ways things can really turn out right? If Sutton or Judy become the red zone guy and they throw it a ton in the red zone, right? That's a way that can really swing a lot, in terms of the volume. And if the volume goes up, like, that's a really interesting situation. So that's one to definitely watch in terms of, I think early on, we are going to look at that stat and maybe get an idea of what they're doing in the red zone and who the beneficiary is. I'd be interested in sort of seizing on that early on. I think that'd be interesting data to watch for. 85.2% of Denver's rushes last year in the red zone were running back rushes. That's good for seventh. That was second. They were second in Green Bay last year. So really run-centric, running back-centric. There wasn't a lot of Rodgers doing a ton of running down in the red zone is the takeaway there. So we'll see. A little bit difference here in terms of some of the expected points. Green Bay was better by a point and a half in terms of expected running back points. 24.2 for Denver last year, 25.7 for Green Bay. That's the difference between 16th and 9th. The big difference is wide receiver expected points, 29.8 for Denver, 40.2 for Green Bay. That's almost two touchdowns a game if you just sort of think about that. That's the difference between 27th and 6th. So that's a massive difference there. Denver ranked seventh in terms of tight end expected points per game at 14.7. Green Bay ranked 21st at 11.0. So I think the big thing is if this offense turns much more wide receiver centric and wide receiver friendly, there could be big payoffs there. You could potentially see that in Sutton and even Judy. They ranked 10th in terms of pass blocking last year, 18th in terms of run blocking. The early down passing rate last year, 11th for Green Bay at 53.9. Denver ranked 28th in early down passing rate at 45.8. I think there's a lot of things that could really, really point in favor of this passing offense in Denver. And it's small incremental things that could really uptick. Big beneficiary, I think Russell Wilson, 27th in terms of expected points per game last year at 16.7. 20.1 in actual points per game. That's good for 16th. Again, caveat that with the fact that he came back too early from a finger injury. Attempts per game at 28.6. That should go up. That's in the 30s. Points per game, points per drop back in his career. Russell Wilson is 0.63 fantasy points per drop back. That's a 96th percentile. When you just look at passing points per drop back, he is 0.53. That is 94th percentile. He's an elite fantasy quarterback. And again, if he gets the passing game volume, especially if they optimize it in the red zone, like, he's got MVP upside. So I think that is an interesting thing we could watch for. He could really pile on touchdowns in a way Russell Wilson hasn't had a chance to as much in some of those point blank stuff, especially with you know, like the way that Rodgers has really kind of made defenses pay. I'd be super interested to see if Green Bay goes that route in the red zone. Javonte Williams posted a 2021 line of 203 carries, 903 rushing yards, and 4 touchdowns. He added 43 receptions, 316 receiving yards, and 13 touchdowns last year. The Football Guys projections project 6 more carries, about 50 more yards, and they actually project 4 more touchdowns, so that's notable. Project 1.6 more receptions, about 20 more receiving yards, and the same amount of touchdowns. So Gordon is still present, and I think Gordon is still a thorn. Gordon's a high-level injury-away guy with running back, top 10 running back, well within his range of outcomes should there be an injury to Javonte Williams. I think at Javonte Williams' cost, we'll talk about that in a second, but I'll talk about it right now. He's underdog 12, and he's RDP of 5. Like, he's not the type of place where I want to go at running back. So that's a clear avoid for me. I'd much rather take a wide receiver or even a tight end at that cost than I would rather take Javonte Williams, depending on the format. Loss of Tim Patrick's big. I think Sutton's a really interesting one. 8th highest percentage of his targets deep. Lockett was actually 3rd last year with 37.9. Sutton was 30.5. So again, you look at that that deep threat in that offense, Sutton was it, and Jerry Jeudy was definitely not. Only 13% of his targets were deep. So you look at the typography there, it's definitely Sutton was more the vertical threat. Sutton actually ranked 56th out of 75 wide receivers with more than 10 targets in deep air yards realized. So that's the air yards, sorry, it's the A dot times the targets, right? So your air yards. And then I just took however many yards you actually got on those targets. And that's basically the percentage of your air yards that's realized, right? It's whatever your yards are divided by your air yards is your air yards realized. And so he ranked 56th out of 75 in terms of air yards realized. There's a big, massive, massive difference there that could potentially be, I think, very, very, very meaningful. By way of reference, Lockett was 10th. You know, and then DK Metcalf was actually 60th. So DK Metcalf realized about 32%, which was actually still more than Courtland Sutton did, right around what Courtland Sutton did. I think when you look at it, Lockett's definitely a guy. If you're looking for kind of the efficiency case for Russell Wilson, it definitely came out in Lockett. And I think that Sutton's the type of guy that's kind of shown that situation early in his career, and he could definitely capitalize. So really interested in Sutton, especially at his cost. I'm surprised by it. Alberto is just an elite efficiency guy. We'll see if he actually can consolidate that job. Be interested to watch him versus Dulcich here early on in the season. Russell Wilson, quarterback 9 and underdog quarterback 12 in Dynasty. I think he's underrated in Dynasty. That mid-second round, he's kind of you can hammer that cost. For sure. I'm just waiting on the contract stuff to see, you know, how super maxy he gets. Javonte Williams, as I mentioned before, running back 12 and underdog, running back 5 in RDP. So that's a negative split. Gordon, actually with a positive split, underdog 37, RDP 50. He's nursing a foot injury, so we'll have to watch that here over the next couple weeks. Sutton, underdog 16, wide receiver 29 in Dynasty. Jeudy, underdog 21, wide receiver 28 in Dynasty. So a little split there amongst those two guys. I'm much rather have Sutton at his cost than Jeudy, given I think that the outcome of, I don't know how Jeudy smashes, I can tell you how Sutton smashes, right? So that would be the difference between those two guys. I think Sutton's got a clear case of being an elite upside guy. And then you got Hamler. He's underdog 70, RDP of 84. So we'll see. Maybe that number goes up a little bit in training camp as this goes along. The redraft market definitely likes Alberto more than Dulcich, which is natural. 13th in underdog for Alberto, 31st in underdog for Dulcich. Alberto is tight end 16 in Dynasty. It almost feels like he's a guy that feels a little bit like Hayden Hurst a couple years ago, where everyone's like, oh, Hayden Hurst is going to be a top 10 guy. You know, oh, like he's got a great opportunity. He's got all these things. And then he kind of did that top 10 thing and fell in price. Albert O is kind of like a very similar case to that, a little bit cheaper or a little bit lower projection, I guess, but is the market hasn't super reacted to making him up. And it's part way to do, I think, with the depth at the tight end position. But I think he's an interesting one to still be underpriced versus his underdog ADP. That's not a profile we've seen. That's kind of the opposite of what you would expect for a guy like Albert O. Dulcich is at 23, too, is probably a capping factor on Albert O's dynasty cost overall. I think the big takeaways here, Wilson, yes. Gordon, yes. Sutton, yes. Tepid on Javonte Williams and Jeudy at cost. Albert O's an interesting guy that, frankly, I think like he's the type of efficiency guy that could really be up there. You look, he's a top 10 yards per route run guy through 2 years of his career. Like that's a really compelling type situation. So we'll watch to see how he does with that in this new offense, this new look offense. And can he hold off Greg Dulcich? I think that'll be the big question. So that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Again, watching Russell Wilson, these games are going to be fun. This AFC West is going to be very, very fun. So that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.